Radio.
Forming evangelization teams. Best practice for effective mission. A presentation by Bishop Nicholas Hudson at the Proclaim 2016 conference. Brought to you by Cradio and XT3.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's lovely to be with you. I'm still in my second week only in Australia, and I'm really loving it. It's interesting about the place names because I'm really enjoying at last seeing all these places that I've heard about in geography all my life. And so I can understand exactly where you're coming from with the names. So we're going to look this afternoon in the next hour or so at forming evangelization teams and best practice. You'll all come at this with various experiences of having been in teams charged with a particular task to achieve for the local church. And if you're anything like me, some of those experiences will have been good and some of them will have been very difficult and challenging. I'd like you just in your heart to hold on to the good, perhaps some of the individuals from whom you really received by working collaboratively, and just hold them in your heart and hold the memory of what was good about collaboration as we explore together how we can organise ourselves to develop evangelisation teams in our parishes. I come at this, as was mentioned in the introduction, from having had years of experience of working to try and develop evangelisation and catechesis in the diocese, and I had a very collaborative experience of it. I was part of a collaborative team. I was the one priest member with men and women, lay and ordained, some religious brothers, some religious sisters, and men and women who weren't religious or ordained. And we always set out to model together in the formation that we were giving the kind of collaboration that we wanted to encourage and nurture at parish level. I do think collaboration is absolutely key for what we're about. And I think it's absolutely key to the approach that we take to having evangelization teams in parishes, hence the workshop. And I'm going to be saying a lot about who should be in the team and how we discern that. But as well as considering the who, I shall be considering with you the what as well, the what of evangelization. Because I'm absolutely clear that it's by doing evangelization that we begin to enthuse others and enthuse ourselves for evangelization. And more than that, it's by beginning to brainstorm ideas and possibilities for evangelization, to imagine how evangelizing our parish could possibly become in a way that perhaps begins to meet some of those areas of evangelization that you saw being played over as you were coming in. If the team is the vehicle for all of this, then the fuel is evangelization itself. And I think a good dose of brainstorming about evangelizing possibilities gets people energized quickly. So that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with brainstorming evangelizing possibilities for your own parish. Now, we're halfway through the afternoon, and I think we've achieved a lot already in this conference, and I think it's one of those moments where it would be nice for each of us just to sit quietly with a pen in our hand and a piece of paper, just for a few minutes, just to brainstorm possible evangelizing ideas for our parish. I'd like to suggest that whatever aspect of evangelization we're going to begin to develop in our parishes, it requires that sort of discernment that you've just embarked upon. Imagine giving that a few weeks and months of developing that conversation and with a much larger group of people in the parish. It's an exercise, by the way, these sheets are designed for you to take away and use in whatever way you want. It's an exercise you could do with your parish pastoral council, if you have one, or their equivalent, in order to get them enthused and it'll certainly bear repeating with your parish evangelization team once you've got it set up. I think that reflecting along this way, first of all on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and then reflecting on what we're doing already and what more we might do, I think it makes us ask ourselves pretty soon and very importantly two fundamental questions. Of course, who is my neighbour? But secondly, who are my partners? Firstly, who is my neighbour? But secondly, who are going to be my partners in meeting their need? And it's the second of these, who are my partners, that reminds us that we can't do evangelization alone, of course. Pope Francis puts it very well when he says in Evangelii Gaudium, he says this: a proposal of goals without an adequate communal search for the means of achieving them will inevitably prove illusory. The important thing is not to walk alone, but to rely on each other as brothers and sisters, and especially under the leadership of the bishops, in a wise and pastoral discernment. And of course, Jesus relied on a team model himself. He called the apostles together as a team in order to help him realize a mission which he knew profoundly that he couldn't achieve on his own. His apostles, and then the wider group of the disciples, were his evangelization team. So it's time for us to ask the key question: how do we form a parish evangelization team? And I'd like to address this with the help of a resource which arose from our own National Proclaim conference that we had in Birmingham, England, just over a year ago. This resources page comes as a fruit of that conference, and it's the title page of a whole bank of resources which are there for you to access online if you choose to. If you want to have ideas for your parish, for your deanery, for your diocese, about any of these different aspects of evangelization. And it has a section on parish evangelization teams, and it offers 10 tips which I think bear considering. Before we look at the first of those tips, I'd like you just to imagine a scenario. Imagine a scenario whereby the parish priest has confided in you and another parishioner that he would like to form a parish evangelization team. If you have a pastoral parish council already, then you should encourage him to take that idea there and to continue the discernment with that group. But whether you have a parish pastoral council or not, a good starting point would be doing the brainstorming exercise which we've just done, maybe just with you and a few other parishioners and the parish priest or other appropriate members of the parish. And next, they should meet to consider the following tips. The first tip is titled indeed, Forming a Parish Evangelization Team. The tips began with that good quote from Francis, where he says in Evangelii Gaudium, "Of course, all of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clear witness to the gospel." These tips are designed to do just that, to help us mature in our work as evangelizers. There'll be many of you sitting here in this theatre who are very familiar now with Evangelii Gaudium. A lot of us have dipped into it so many times, and you'll have noticed that one of the keys to it is the idea of maturing as missionary disciples. It's by reflecting on these tips that we begin to mature in our discernment as a parish as to what more we could be doing to organise ourselves for evangelisation. So, getting started. Take time to consider who should be involved in deciding the membership and purpose of the evangelization team. A small group, led or nominated by the parish priest or the deacon, should meet to pray together before selecting the evangelization team and deciding what their remit might be. Take time. Pray together. I think these words speak for themselves. You need to take your time, and prayer is obviously key. A small group should pray for guidance in how to gather together a team. At the appropriate moment, the whole parish should be asked to engage in prayer for this discernment. The housebound in particular should be harnessed to this task. Isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to say to someone who's housebound, I need you? Especially someone perhaps with intellectual learning disabilities, to be able to say, I need you, and they say, what for? And you say, I really need your gift of prayer. It can be helpful to print a prayer card for the whole parish. Next tip, strengthen diversity. Jesus chose diverse people, not only the usual suspects who are already busy. Recruit people from all walks of life whose disposition is positive, encouraging, and whose prayer is sincere. Choose diverse people from all walks of life. Your aim should be to gather together an apostolic 12. The group needs to be this large. Obviously, it doesn't have to be 12, but there is something profoundly good and balanced about a group the size of 12. And it needs to be that large so as to bear fallout. There was fallout in the original group of 12. Or absences, and still feel substantial. Many of you will have been in a group of 12, 14, where six people may be missing from the meeting, but you say, well, we're still quite quorate. But if you started smaller, if you started as six, and then only three attending to come to the meetings, you begin to feel the difference. If others offer their services because they've heard a group is gathering, meet with them and keep them in reserve. Some of your members may change their mind about belonging. And these reserves may have a support role to play. You might form them into a group of co-workers who can support the parish evangelization team with specific tasks. The very presence of co-workers reminds the parish evangelization team and the parish that the goal we're aiming towards is for the parish evangelization team to be the think tank and the whole parish to be engaged in evangelization. It's important that the team represent a broad cross-section of the parish with a good male-female balance, a range of ages, different ethnic types, different liturgical preferences, different spiritualities. It may be helpful to consider these additional criteria as well, that you have some parish stalwarts, people who know the parish and its members well, who can be relied upon to support the team and complete assigned tasks. Perhaps a previously lapsed Catholic, a younger parishioner under 35, administrative and computer skills on the part of members, that you have some people in the group who are indeed creative and imaginative. It's so good to have a new convert in the group. Ideally, if there is a deacon in the parish, a religious and or a consecrated person. And professionals, someone more likely to have experience of critical thinking, strategy creation, and project appraisal. Family men and women and both. Ask yourselves, is the proposed team member practicing and enthusiastic about being a Catholic? Committed to prayer? Formed in the basics of the Catholic faith? Able to work in a team, able to learn and listen and trust, able to empathize, committed and able to give time, willing to share their faith with others, willing to do as well as plan and think, aware of what's being asked of them, have a sense of humor. What you can tell is that I'm giving you person specs. And you know, when we are appointing someone to a very important job, we draw up very long person specs initially. Then obviously you make them shorter and you make them realistic. But this is the kind of brainstorming about the team as well that you need to be doing. Next tip, a missionary conscience. Recognize the difference between enabling the parish to become missionary focused and the temptation to form a small group of evangelizers. Be clear that you are a team who will become the mission conscience of the parish community, promoting and enabling everyone and everything to be more outward facing and missionary in its intentions. Mission focused with a mission conscience. Pope Francis warns us in Evangelii Gaudium 28 against parishes being dominated by a chosen few. This is an opportunity for the parish not to be dominated by a chosen few, because it's clear that the parish's role is to train as many members as possible to be evangelizers. And I find this phrase, mission conscience, very powerful. It comes from Paul Cannon and Sharon Beach in their excellent book, Welcome to Witness, Becoming an Evangelizing Parish. And there they described the parish evangelization team as the evangelizing conscience of the parish. Hopefully, they say, members will see that they are to be, in a very gentle way, the evangelizing conscience of the parish, constantly asking the question, what does this have to do with evangelization? The point is that you're looking for people who are going to help the parish grow in its awareness about evangelization, not people who are going to say, we shouldn't be doing that, but rather, wouldn't it be more evangelizing if we did it like this? You can feel the difference. Next tip, a personal invitation. Invite people to the team with a specific and unique calling, highlighting the reason for your decision as a recognition of a person's particular gifts. The invitation isn't casual or to anyone who's available. Choose people for whom this would be their primary contribution to parish life, rather than one thing among many others. It's about being a specific and unique calling, and this being their primary contribution. So included in this conversation that you're having with people who are thinking about being a member of the team should be pointing out to them that one is asking members to commit to a specific term. This will vary enormously from one parish to another, but 2 or 3 years seems advisable. And this would allow for a discussion at the start of the second year as to whether any members felt able to commit to a third. And that way you begin to have a rollover process. There would also be a need to clarify as to how often the group meets. In my part of the world, we find it works well to meet for this kind of group about once a month, or at least in once a month for 10 months of the year. You probably recognize a similar rhythm from parish groups you've belonged to. Pointing out that the vision is collaborative and that while the priest is an essential member of the team, he may delegate leadership of the team to a parishioner. The parish evangelization team will have a direct relationship to the parish pastoral council if there is one. It's not envisaged that the team will do all the work and implementation, but they will create a 5-point evangelization plan, inviting and encouraging fellow parishioners to help and implement it. Next tip, a personal encounter. The primary qualification for participation in the work of evangelization is a personal prayer life, which has led to an encounter and daily relationship with Jesus. This living relationship will be expressed differently in different people. The sharing of moments of personal encounter with Christ should be encouraged in the conversation and narrative of the team. As Pope Francis says in Evangelii Gaudium, so just to summarize, you have encounter and daily relationship with Jesus, the sharing of moments of personal encounter. As Pope Francis says, the primary reason for evangelizing is the love of Jesus which we have received, the experience of salvation which urges us to ever greater love of him. This seems to amplify that phrase of St. Paul's, who said, Caritas Christi urget nos, the love of Christ urges us on. Towards the end of Evangelii Gaudium, the Pope concludes with a meditation on what it means to be spirit-filled evangelizers. If you've not read the whole of the document and want to know where to begin, go to the end and read the section on spirit-filled evangelizers. He calls us there back to the heart of evangelization, which he says is, in essence, the proclamation of a love. If we do not feel, he says, an intense desire to share this love, we need to pray insistently that he will once more touch our hearts. We need to implore his grace daily, asking him to open our cold hearts and shake up our lukewarm and superficial existence. We need to feel what Nathaniel felt, standing before him with open hearts, letting him look at us. We see that gaze of love which Nathaniel glimpsed on the day when Jesus said to him, I saw you under the fig tree. Contemplation will give us the incentive, a sense that we have a treasure of life and love which cannot deceive, and a message which cannot mislead or disappoint. So for all those reasons, this is why one of the suggested criteria is a commitment to prayer. Because Pope Francis is clear that it's only if we root ourselves in a daily personal encounter with God in prayer that we can be missionary. This is why prayer should be a significant part of each meeting. A parish evangelization team should make an annual retreat together at least one day every year. Next tip, have no secrets. Be consistent in your efforts to communicate the purpose of the team and its membership to the whole parish community, avoiding any secrecy or mystery. The team's very existence is part of a shift in parish culture and needs to be widely known, understood, appreciated, and prayed for. Communicate the purpose of the team, because the team's existence needs to be widely known. It could be that once a parish evangelization team has been called, that there be an open meeting at which a vision of evangelization is presented and the thinking about the choice of a team is communicated. We should heed Pope Francis's warning to avoid being perceived, as we saw, as the chosen few. An appeal could be made for evangelization co-workers who could help at outreach events and when practical tasks need to be completed. One would think in terms of interviewing those who offer, since this may lead to suggesting an alternative form of service. I'm sure many of you will have had that experience of somebody offering themselves for a particular service in the parish, and in the course of the conversation, you and they realise that perhaps this wouldn't be quite the place that the Spirit is calling them to contribute, but that there is another ministry to which they're really well suited. Next tip, formation matters. Ensure that a period of carefully prepared formation is given to your evangelization team. Spend time looking for appropriate resources to help inspire and ignite it. Bring in speakers who can motivate and excite. Ensure that the team learns to pray together, eat together, and reflects together upon sections of Pope Francis's exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. Carefully prepared formation. Pray together, eat together, and reflect together. This particular aspect calls for discernment as to whether you have the resources within your own community, or more likely, that you need to call on help from outside. I would advise that for the most part, you seek help from outside, and then you can learn from others how you might then give the formation yourselves within the community. It needn't be too demanding, but the aim should be that it enrich, inspire, and deepen. So once you've got your team together, you might think in terms of having a 6-session formation course for them, looking at headings like the praying parish, the listening parish, the parish of people with mission, faith and life in the parish called to serve, the parish, the people of the kingdom of God. That means we're talking about formation in prayer, in contextualization, in a basic theology of mission, an introduction to spirituality, an introduction to service, and first inklings of a theology of the kingdom. This formation should draw extensively from Evangelii Gaudium, Misericordiae Vultus, the Pope's marvellous letter on mercy, and also the four apostolic constitutions of Vatican II. It might also include formation in ecumenism and on inclusion of the poor and people with disabilities. Formation should also include looking at the Proclaim resource that I flagged up at the beginning for ideas, all sorts of ideas, on all those different aspects of evangelizing. There may also be need for a specific formation on particular evangelizing activities. For instance, it might be good for your parish to learn about programs which help reach out to non-church-going Catholics, or programs about interfaith dialogue. Prayer should have a significant amount of formation, teaching the team how to pray as a team, in small groups and individually. Learning how to pray and how to talk about prayer empowers the team members to talk with others about prayer and spirituality. Formation matters. Many of you will have read the works of Father James Mallon, and some of you will know him. He asks not only his team, but all members of the parish to commit themselves to one course of formation in the course of every year. Imagine how transformative that would be if a parish really began to take up that invitation. Next tip, tell your story. Include in the period of formation some opportunities for team members to reflect upon their personal faith experiences and also some time for these experiences to be shared. Time for experiences to be shared. Opportunities to reflect upon personal faith experiences. This needn't be intimidating for team members, but there is power in hearing of others' faith journey. It empowers you to tell your own, and that may lead you to share your faith with others. Some of you will have had the experience that when you were asked to tell others about your faith journey, you thought to yourself, I've got no faith journey to tell anybody about. But then you force yourself, and people say, I was so moved, or that was so inspiring. And you say to yourself, was it as easy as that? I'd like to show you just 3 minutes of a clip of a woman called Fiona Mansford, who does a lot of work encouraging people to share their testimonies. And I share it with you as giving you a taster of those Proclaim resources from the UK, which I'm inviting you to dip into. And it gives you an example of what lies behind that portal, if you would only click on the videos there.
So I'd like you to imagine the scenario, imagine the scene, that you're in a cafe, having a nice relaxing cup of coffee with a friend, or perhaps you're in the pub if you don't go to cafes. But you're out with friends, and maybe some of the people that you're speaking to, some of them you know quite well, some of them are a group of people that maybe you haven't met. So you're with a group of people, you're having a chat, you're telling them, they're asking you a few questions, you're telling them about your life, and everything goes a little bit quiet. So just at that moment, the person says to you, so, are you very religious then? What happens next? What do we say to those kinds of questions? When people hear that we're Catholic, not just that we're Catholic, but we actually believe it in our lives as well. When we go back tomorrow, this evening, and perhaps people will ask you, how was your day? What did you do today? How was your weekend? What did you get up to? There's an opportunity there to speak of faith, to speak of the Lord. Sometimes sometimes people don't ask us direct questions. Sometimes people are just coming to us to share something of their life with us. So you might be the kind of person that ends up listening to other people's scenarios and situations. It might be a colleague at work who says, oh, I'm just having such a bad day today. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. Or perhaps there are redundancies at work and everybody's feeling a bit unsettled. Perhaps somebody comes to talk to you because they're worried about their children, they're worried about finances. These are all opportunities in our day-to-day lives to share our faith, to bring some light and some hope to other people. So in this workshop, How to Share Your Testimony, we're thinking of those kinds of one-to-one, everyday experiences that all of us encounter, and how to really see those moments and take them for the opportunities that they are.
So there you are. There's someone who has the courage and the gift of getting people with that gentle friendliness to actually have the courage to begin to talk to other people about their faith and their relationship with Christ in a way they might never have before. Two more tips before we then talk to each other about what you've just been hearing. Ongoing discernment. Discernment is not only the starting point, but an ongoing feature of the life of the team. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Are we the right people to be doing it? To this end, ensure the team maintains an openness to new ways of doing things, is in touch with people outside the parish, and recognizing that mistakes can be learnt from. Discernment, an ongoing feature. Openness to new ways. This amounts to being committed to review, sometimes even facilitation from the right person with the right skills can be really helpful. An annual review with someone skilled in that way can really help the team choose priorities for the next year, for the future work. A sense of planning for replacement members is very wise as well. It should be often on the agenda. A discerning ethos suggests also conscientious discernment of how developments in evangelization will be communicated to the parish. This is very important, how the group are discerning that they communicate to the parish what it is that they're resolving and calling the parish to. Some parishes find an evangelization newsletter very helpful. It enables the team to express their vision in the way they choose. Last tip, mercy comes first. Resist negative or judgmental dispositions. Be quick to forgive fellow team members and those to whom you're trying to evangelize. Resist negative dispositions. Be quick to forgive. So this is about creating a really good ethos in the group. Really working as a group to make sure that in this group, not because we want to be better than others, but in this parish evangelization team, we really will try to be merciful towards one another and towards everyone else. And I often think it comes down to leadership. The leadership which is able to say, gosh, we're quite often criticizing that person, aren't we? Or we've just said some quite difficult things about that person. Let's now think of just as many good things we could say about that person. And you know, talk like that, leadership like that, begins to shift the ethos a little bit. And then just one final tip that's not on the list, but which I think is rather essential, is about finance. A realistic parish evangelization team will be giving consideration to the cost of what it wants to initiate. And you need to make sure that that's discussed at the appropriate moment. So our time is drawing to a close. What I'd like just to do is to familiarise you with the other papers that you have in front of you, which are really for you to take away and do with them what you will. But what I would recommend is that you begin to show them to other people in the parish with whom you're already beginning to share ideas for evangelisation. You would all be at different places. Some of you will have had teams in place for a long time, Others will have had teams in place for a long time but want to develop them and move them on. For others, this will be a help, I hope, to getting started. And what you have in handout G and handout H is really a continuation of the first exercise you did. So it's a genuine process whereby you can invite those with whom you're sitting down to take the brainstorming you did about the works of mercy at the beginning and the evangelizing activities that it points up to you that you're already doing in the parish, and then which new evangelizing initiatives it suggests you need to do. And then in the light of that, take the tips about forming a parish evangelization team, because they deliberately imply a lot of evangelizing initiatives that need to be taken in the parish. So evangelizing initiatives that we take are partly about reaching out to those we want to evangelize, and also initiatives that we take in order to organize ourselves for evangelization. And you will find then that you're beginning to get quite a big brainstorming of ideas. And then in the light of all those lists, I'd like to suggest that you take handout H, choosing categories, which I think, if I'm correct, has been produced as a large... Have you been given it as a large sheet as well? The idea being that you would take it home and sit down with some other co-workers and with a marker, begin to fill in the columns. And what has been given there is a suggestion that you form a grid under these different areas of parish life: prayer, caritas, faith formation, marriage and family life, new evangelistic outreach. The idea of this being that it's very helpful when we've brainstormed many more initiatives than we can possibly manage, even over the next 3 years, that we begin to categorize them and say to ourselves, well, I suppose that if we were to take something like faith development of young people, that we would obviously want to put that under faith formation, but wouldn't it also be about prayer? Or wouldn't it also be about charitable outreach? And in fact, wouldn't it have implications for the way we're preparing them for marriage and family life? And you'd begin to see what categories they fall under and where you want to begin. And what can sometimes happen in parishes is that they find, gosh, we're naming a lot of initiatives that we want to do under Caritas. Or to our surprise, we're finding we want to do a lot to develop marriage and family life. And it's all helpful in terms of discerning initiatives and, as I put on that sheet there, discerning on what we wish to make a priority. And another tool towards the brainstorming process, where you've had the corporate and spiritual works of mercy, you've had the tips for forming an evangelization team, is then to return to those categories with which we started and which I would run you through now. Prayer, vision and strategy, parish teams, which is what we've been majoring on, how we reach out to the non-church going, how we share testimonies of faith, family life, prayer and prayer experiences, reaching out to the unchurched, how we begin to access the gospel, how we be a poor church for the poor, what we do for our young people and with our young people. And there is the opening sheet, the opening portal for all those resources which we produced in Proclaim 15 in the UK. And I bring that to you in a spirit of being so happy to share with you a little bit of our experience, in a hope that with the help of the Holy Spirit, something there is going to help you in your parish see a little bit more clearly how the Holy Spirit is calling you to organize and restructure yourselves for evangelization. It's been a delight to be able to have this time with you, and I'll linger a little bit at the end of this session in case anybody wants to ask me anything about what we've shared. Thank you very much. Good night, God bless.
That was Bishop Nicholas Hudson with Forming Evangelization Teams, Best Practice for Effective Mission. This presentation was part of the Proclaim 2016 conference on the theme, On a Mission of Mercy, Evangelizing Parishes, which was hosted by Broken Bay Diocese Australia. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.